Valentine's Day, Wednesday, and for the folks in here who are married or have a significant other, you know, I've been married 25 years, and I'm going to impart some wisdom on you. You're like, so if you guys are younger in this, take notes, because this is a pro who's at this thing here. All right, so here we go. Look, if you want to make your special person feel special, and guys, this is to you, right? Because the ladies, guys are a little bit different. You know what I say in a second. You can forego the flowers. I wouldn't suggest you do that, but do the flowers. But if you really want to get some points, take your wife, your girlfriend, or the person that you're trying to get to become your girlfriend, and just say to them, hey, can we go for a little walk? And you take them on a little walk, and if you're married, take them around the community and just walk, you know, kind of like at nighttime, or take them to the beach or something and just talk. And just, you know, don't go to the movies. All you do is take them to the beach, take them to a park, and just talk. And let me tell you, you will get more points doing that than anything else that you can do, and it's free. Take it from me, 25 years at this thing. Anyway, before we go any further, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, but especially in this topic, Lord, I want you to, and ask that you speak to me now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in my years of counseling people, and in everything I've ever read, everything that I've ever experienced, the one question that keeps coming up over and over and over and over again is a topic of communication. Whether I'm speaking with married folks who are not actually having the most wonderful time in marriage, or whether I'm speaking to people about their relationship with God, the thing that keeps coming up more so than anything is communication. And any good relationship, you know that in order to have any good relationship, what's really important is the ability to talk to each other. And it's so much so also with our relationship with God. You see, God is always talking, but for some reason we always seem to think, and this is a question I get asked all the time, how do I know what God wants from me? How do I know what is God's will for my life? How do I know what God's saying to me? If I should, you know, be in a situation, have a decision to make, I would really love it if I knew what God wanted me to do. And so last week we began a new series, and the series we called Frequency. And we called it Frequency because, you know, we want you to understand that really the problem is not God speaking. The problem is us listening, to us tuning in to the frequency. So I have four objectives in this series. Number one is that God, to let you know that God is always speaking. We talked about that last week. Number two is God has a specific voice. He has a distinctive voice, and we'll touch on that in a little bit. And the third thing is that God has some unique things to say to you, things that are targeted to you and to you and to you. And we'll talk about that when God is speaking to you, he actually calls your name. And the fourth thing that we want you to get, so it's four-week series and four things, is that you'll be able to recognize God's voice. And the reason why I say that is that the devil, who's our adversary, has been at this, you know, he's a deceiver, and he's been at this deceiving thing a really long time. And he totally gets how to deceive. And one of the best methods that he uses to deceive is to imitate God's voice. And so sometimes you think you're hearing from God, but you ain't hearing from God. And so we're going to talk about that in week four. But our theme verse, our theme series of verses for this message, and our theme verses is this. It's really found, my clicker's doing magic again. Where's Sean? Sean, I need your help here. So just click ahead. So my wife this week is actually doing my slides. So let's see. All right, we're doing good. So go to the next slide there. So Jesus is talking, and he, you know, he's saying, okay, everybody knows a good shepherd calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And everybody there, he would have made a connection right there with folks, because folks there knew that sheep know their shepherd's name. And he calls them, and he calls them, and he leads them out. And go on to the next slide. And when he has brought all his own sheep out, he, the shepherd, goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. They follow him. And go to the next slide. Oh, all right, I think it's working now, or maybe not. Ah, here he goes. Magic. Thank you, Sean. I don't know what you did. And they will never follow a stranger, but will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. And everybody there would have known, like, I get this. And so what? And I told you last week, I just imagine, like, Jesus just dropping the mic after he said that. People are like, wonder what's going up. And imagine him picking up the mic, because it's a few verses later, and he says this: I am the good shepherd. He talks about the good shepherd. Everybody latches in, and then he says, I am the good shepherd. And in verse 27, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And people there would have started to say, snap, okay, this is really deep. This is not just some shepherd sheep story thing. This is really deep. And for the people there, they were like, okay, I can deal with that. Because Jesus was there in body. And so when he's talking about his voice, my sheep, you know, people are like, well, I can hear him preach. But Jesus knew it wasn't going to be that easy when he left. Because while they were listening to a physical voice there, there was going to be a time that would come when they needed to exercise their spirit to hear the spiritual voice. They would exercise their spiritual ears to exercise that. And a few years ago, we did a series, and the series was called Can You Hear Me Now? And the series was based, Can You Hear Me Now? Because it was based on a Verizon wireless commercial. If you guys remember that commercial, Can You Hear Me Now? Good. This guy would walk across the stage and was like, Can You Hear Me Now? Good. And so in that series, and I'm going to give you a little refresher in that series because it forms a basis of what we're going to talk about today, is that we said that there are a number of ways that God speaks to you. And one of the ways, and the way that if you grew up in the churches where I grew up in, this was massively emphasized, right? God speaks through the Bible. And if you want to know, people would say, well, if you want to know on any topic what you should go to, you should go to the Bible. And it's a good, it's really good because that's infallible, right? You go to the Bible and you get instructions. But there's a group of folks who believe that God stopped speaking after he wrote the Bible. And at the end of Revelation, when he wrote it and they said, this is the canon, that God stopped speaking. And that from this point on, you only hear God's voice through the Bible. You don't hear it from anything else. And there's a school of thought that says that. Well, I don't really believe that because a relationship requires constant communication. It's just any relationship. If I only had 50 words, and the Bible has more than that, but just say for illustrative purposes, if I only had 50 words that I said to Donna, and every time something came up, I picked out one of those 50 words and said to her, that would last only this long. And it's the same way with any relationship. But God speaks through the Bible. But one of the cool things about the Bible is that the Bible is alive and it's active. And you could read a passage of scripture one day and you get something that you need. And you read the same passage another day and you get something different. And you read the same passage another day and you get something different. And the reason is because the Bible is alive. As a matter of fact, Paul told Timothy, he says in 2 Timothy, he's like, hey, you need to realize, son, because Timothy was like 20, 21. He's like, that all scripture is God-breathed, and in some versions it says inspired, and is useful for teaching. It's useful for rebuking. It's useful for correcting and for training in righteousness. And no matter which verse that you look at, depending on what your situation is. That same verse could teach you one day. That same verse could rebuke you one day. That same verse could correct you another day. And that same verse can train you another day. It's just the most amazing thing that you ever seen. It's like when you go into the Bible and you read and God says, okay, I got something to tell you today. That passage that you read and comes alive inside of you. And he, you know, David recognized this. And David said this, you know, he said, you know what? God's word, the written word, and when you read the Old Testament or the New Testament referring to the Old Testament, it's oftentimes referred to two things. It's normally referred to the law and the prophets, right? Because they had two sets of writings, but we canonize that into the Old Testament, the law and the prophets. But David said, your word is a lamp, is a guide to my feet, and a light for my path. I did some word study, and that verse is just so interesting because the word says, and if you look in the original language, that he gives you enough light for the next step. And then he shows you, like, the door, there's a light. He says, that's where you're going, but I'm not showing you the exact path. You just know that you're going to be okay, but you get enough light for the next step. And David says, all right, I'm going to hold on to these writings, these scriptures, because his word will do that to me. So the number one way that God speaks is through the Bible. Another way, right, I won't say number two, is that God speaks through gifted teachers. Now, as I was writing this, I'm like, well, I don't know about that. God speaks through people like me, and he speaks through gifted teachers, right? So he speaks through gifted teachers, and he says this here. He said, these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. But he gave apostles, which are special messengers, and he gave prophets, which are people who can just get up and just preach. And he gave evangelists, like your Billy Grahams of the world and stuff like that, and he gave pastors who are like shepherds and teachers within a given body of people that stays there. And their responsibility is to equip the church. And that blows my mind. That God has said to me, he's like, Gary, on Sunday mornings, or when you get a call during the week, or whenever, when you speak to people, you need to recognize that you're carrying my word and my message to somebody here. And every time I stand up here, the words that are coming out of my mouth is really for one of you, if not for all of you. And so it always gets me that I laugh, because I'll come off the stage and somebody says, man, how did you know? And I know what? Then how did you know that, you know, that's what was hitting me? This week, somebody said to me, like, it's like you're spying in my bedroom. I'm like, well, let's rest assured, I'm not doing that, all right? I'm not spying in your bedroom. You know, I'm a nice guy, but I'm not one of those. And so he speaks to that. And when I'm, like, preparing, and Donna will tell you that I take preparing very seriously, because I realize that I'm carrying the message of God, and I don't want to get it messed up, so that when I get up here and say, this is what God is saying to you, this is really what God is saying to you. And so when I tell you these things, I'm actually quoting scripture. I'm not using words that come from my human wisdom, because my human wisdom is nonsense. I'll make stuff up. When people ask me for advice, usually what I'll say to them is, give me a day to think about it and pray about it, and I'll come back to you. And for most of you, you know, for the folks who have asked me advice, you know that's kind of one of my standard answers, which is, let me pray about it and come back to you, because I don't want to come to you with human wisdom. I want to come to you with words that is given to me by the Spirit. I don't want to come with my words. I want to use the Spirit words to explain truth, because every truth that you encounter, everything that you encounter is spiritual, and it's a spiritual truth. And so another way that God speaks is he speaks through wise counsel, and we spoke about this a couple weeks ago. That says, I like this verse, that the godly gives wise advice to their friends, and the wicked leads them astray. And guys, you guys are Christians, and your friend is doing something wrong. Your friend is over the top in something. You have a responsibility to carry the message of God to your friends and give them wise advice. And by the way, if you don't do that, you're wicked. I didn't write it. Because if you're giving them advice and you're leading them astray, if you see that they're engaging in some behavior that is not good, don't encourage them and say, go on with your bad self. Like, ooh, you balling, you finessing. Whatever you do. Godly give wise advice to their friends. You have a responsibility. And I want to put a heavy, heavy weight on your shoulders. Because you have a heavy weight on your shoulders to lead your friends in the right direction, no matter what it is, no matter if it looks like they're having fun. He also goes on to say, you're a fool if you think that your way is right. If you say that, I got this, and somebody comes up to you and says, hey, I've been at this Valentine's thing for a long time. Take her for a walk. You're like, nah, I got this. I got this. You're a fool. The wise listen to other people who know stuff. And I tell you that all the time, that small groups get into a group of people who are looking at you and can see your life. And, you know, Andy Stanley coined this term, and I just love it. He said, circles are better than rows. When you sit in a circle, you can be transparent. People can see you. And circle better. If you are not in a group, you're following your own advice. And I'm telling you that you're making some foolish mistakes because there's really wise counsel that comes out from the group. So God speaks through wise counsel. God also speaks through nature. You know, when you are having some issues, and sometimes you're like, God, where are you in this? Where are you in this? You know, this problem seems almost too big for God. You know, God, we want some things for Pioneer Community Church. God, we want some things for our family. And I just don't know. My marriage is like a mess. It's gone. It's over. And God's like, I want you to understand something. See this whole world? You see this whole ecosystem? You see how all this came together? I put this together. I put this together. And your issue is big for you, but I'm bigger than your issue. And I can help you solve this issue. And sometimes we need a reminder. And so in Psalms 19, you know, the psalmist says, hey, when you go out into nature and look up, the heavens declare. When you say declare, it's like somebody stand up and is like, I declare this. And this is what the heavens are doing. The heavens are declaring. The expanded Bible says it recounts, it narrates. The heavens are recounting and narrating the glory or the presence of God. And the skies and everything around it, it announces, it speaks out what his hands have made. And what God is saying is that, hey, when you look at the complexity of nature, and you look at all this, believe me, if I can put this world together, I can put your marriage back together. I can put your job back together. I can put your financial health back together. I can put you back together. And so God speaks through nature. But God also speaks through circumstances. You know, you may be going through some stuff. And you're wondering, where is God in all of this? You know, it's one of the questions that people ask all the time. Right? They ask all the time, is like, and it's usually not them, because the people who's going through some stuff, they hold on to God. It's the people that are looking on would say, man, how could a good God let that happen? I'm like, you're leaving God over somebody else's problems. And that person is holding on to God, and you're leaving. But anyway, sometimes you're going through some stuff, and you're just wondering, like I think of Job. And you know, I just think about, you know, people who just like, you know, things after things just keep happening, and you wonder why. And it's oftentimes not until you get into hindsight that you realize that it was good for you to suffer, to be humbled, so you could learn the statutes and ordinance requirements of the Lord. In other words, sometimes God said, there's some things that I need to teach you, and I got to take you through some pain in order to teach you. There's some things that I want to deliver in you, but I got to take you through some pain to deliver that in you. And when you get into it and you look back, you're like, my God was literally carrying me through those circumstances, and it builds your faith. But there's another way that God speaks to you. He speaks through supernatural manifestations. Those are some big words, supernatural manifestations. It's not a way of saying he speaks in miracles. And we all like the miracle. I don't know which one of you here would like to not just somebody is sick or something and you're like, Jesus, be healed. And they'll get up. Or you see somebody on the street and they're doing something and you want to go up to them and says, you know what? What you're doing is wrong. It's going to lead you down a bad path. You need to change your path. And they're like, you know what? You're right. I would think I would change my path today or right now. All of us would love that, right? And we see it all over the Bible, and God is still very much in the miracle working business. And I love reading the stories of the past. I love reading the stories of the old, and I love hearing the stories of the current. I love hearing how God spoke to a man through his donkey. That's one of my favorite things, the way God speaks, because I tell you all the time, God is still speaking through some donkeys today. There's another word for that, but I probably can't say it in church here. I probably could, because I'd have to read the King James Version to say it. And God spoke through a fleece to the man named Gideon, and he spoke through this great light with Saul on the way to Mount. And God is still doing some miraculous things in terms of how he's speaking to people. And I was thinking about it, it's like the God uses all these different ways. He uses all these different ways, but there's a way that he uses more than any other way to speak to all of us. Any other way. And I'm going to tell you why in a second, but it's true. A soft whisper. And that is the hardest way. That is the way that we struggle with most of all, because we can read everything and our friends can tell us stuff and stuff, but he's speaking to us in a soft whisper. And most of us, a lot of us, we don't recognize what that soft whisper sounds like. You know, the Bible tells of a story of a man named Elijah. He was a prophet. And I was speaking to Greg today, and you know, before worship, and Greg was saying, you know, he's like, Gary, you know, I love these Old Testament stories, man. I love this. And by the way, I do too. They're some of the most fascinating stories. And what I love about the Bible is that the Bible, God didn't clean it up. It's messy, like our lives. Our lives are like a mess. Jonathan, my son, he at youth meeting yesterday at Refresh Youth, he covered the story of Joseph. There's a mess in that story of Joseph that you read it and you want, how in the world did God put that in the Bible? But I like it because it's real, and it's real life. And so this prophet Elijah, this man, he had just in 1 Kings 18, he had just come off this really, really huge spiritual high. He had called around the prophets of a false god called Baal, and he pray to your God and to the prophets of Baal, and let him come down and burn up this sacrifice here, and he's laughing, he's making fun of them, and then he prayed, and then God brought down fire from heaven and it burned up not only the sacrifice but the whole altar and everything, and then they slaughtered all the prophets of Baal, and he is riding on a high, and nobody can tell him anything. I don't know if you've ever had this spiritual high. You just come off and you just had this great experience with God, and your God showed up for you in a mighty way or something, and you're just riding. That's what he was. And then Queen Jezebel, who really liked those prophets of Baal, she put a hit on him. She's like, you're going to die. It's a Gary translation, but you can read it. It's in 1 Kings 18 and 19. Just read it. It's there. And I was like, you're gonna die. And Elijah went from calling down all of angels' armies and bring fire down to taking off and running like a scared little cat. A scaredy cat. You know, a scaredy cat when we were younger, like a scaredy cat. And he ran off. And he was in the wilderness, in the desert. And then, you know, God told him, like, it's like, get up, you're going to go on a great journey. Anyway, he was 40 days without food. And he's sitting in a cave. And this man who 41 days earlier was on a spiritual high was on the lowest of lows. And that's instructive for us. But just that in itself that says that sometimes the strongest Christian, the strongest of us can have the biggest high. And just days later, we're in the lowest of lows. And you're not unique. The greats of old have gone through this. But anyway, so he's there at the cave, and you know, he's like feeling just kind of sorry for himself. Here's how he says this, right? He's like, I want you to imagine this. He's like, God, I work very hard for you, you know, for the Lord of heavens. And all the people of Israel have abandoned me. No, there's nobody, everybody's abandoned me. They abandoned your covenant, sorry. You know, the Jezebel and her folks, they've destroyed our places of worship and they've murdered your prophets and I'm the only one left, which is not true, by the way, because he met up with other people later on. But when you're going through the doldrums, you feel like you're the only one who's experiencing this thing that you're going through. And he said, they're trying to kill me. They're trying to kill me, God. I served you. I did all this stuff for you, and these people are trying to kill me. And God, I can imagine God just hearing this and just like, you know, if God was texting you, we were SMH. And God said, hey, Elijah, just go out and stand on the side of the mountain. Elijah gets up and he stands on the side of the mountain. And Lord God, as God told him, as Elijah stood there, a mighty windstorm just blew up. And a windstorm was like a hurricane because it started ripping out rocks out of the mountain. Now, when you think about that, you're standing on a mountain and you see rocks just start flying, just coming out of the mountain. And it was a terrible blast. But the Lord was not in that wind. And so then the wind, after the wind, there was an earthquake. And it was shaking. But God wasn't in that earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord wasn't in that fire. And Elijah's like, what's going on? What's going on? I want you to think about what really was happening there. Miracles were happening around him, but none of the miracles was having any impact on Elijah's problem. And many times we have issues going on, and we see somebody else having this big miraculous thing. Oh, let me tell you what God's doing for me. God gave me this man. He fine as food. God gave me this girl, 36. Well, you know, this is a brick house, right? And you know, it's like, what happened to my man? I'm just trying to be a good person. And all these things happening, and there was no miracle in it. There was nothing in it for Elijah. And then after the fire, there was a gentle and quiet whisper. And God was in that gentle, quiet whisper for Elijah. And when Elijah heard the quiet voice, he muffled his face with his cloak, and he went to the mouth of the cave, and he stood there. This quiet voice asked him and said, Elijah, now tell me, what you doing here complaining? What you doing here complaining? And as I read through this, I kept asking myself, well, why did Elijah have to go through all the places where God was not. Why did God have to do all of that fanfare to tell him all the places that he was not in for Elijah? And we know, by the way, all those things are like real, because on the day of Pentecost, you know, God showed up in a mighty wind. We know that Paul and Silas was in prison, and an earthquake came, and God was in there and shook off all their chains, and the prison opened. We know about the burning bush. So we know that God is in all of these things, but he wasn't in it for Elijah. And like, why did he? He's like, Elijah, nah, 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 nah. That ain't for you. And I believe it was for a number of reasons. Reason number one, I believe, is that God not only speaks, he wants us to know that he not only speaks with big fanfare. See, a lot of times we're looking for the big fanfare. We're looking for the big miracle. And God's like, I'm telling you right in your head what you need to do. And we're like, God, you know, I'm looking for the answers to miraculously appear on this test, because I don't know anything. And God just like, how about you read the first question? I'll bring it back to your memory. God, I don't know nothing on this test. You don't seem to understand. And God doesn't always speak with big fanfare. And you know, and if we look for the big miraculous things all the time, we tend to miss a whole lot of good things. There's a saying that we use at work that says that, you know, there are two ways to feed your family. One is by elephant hunting. You kill an elephant, you could feed your family for like 10 years. But 9 times out of 10, the elephant gonna kill you. But if you kill little squirrels and little, you know, little animals and stuff, none of those are gonna kill you. You may miss a whole bunch of them, but you'll have food every single day without the, you know, all that. And a lot of times we're looking for the elephant, and God's like, hey, I'm working. I'm doing my thing. You guys just need to just hang on. Hang on to me while I do my thing. And I want to show you some wonderful, wonderful things. And I tell you that for every one of those big fanfare miracles that God still does, there are thousands of little things that God is telling you day by day that will make your life better, that will make your days better. God, so that's number one. That one of the reasons why I believe God showed all the places he was not was because he says, hey, I normally speak through the big fanfare. And number two is that I think God wants to tell us that he's a real-time God. My wife would say he's an on-time God. He's a real-time God. You don't have to wait till you go to church to hear from God. You don't have to wait till you open your Bible to hear from God. And I'm not negating, because all the Bible is really your anchor, your rock, and we're going to talk about that especially in a couple weeks. You don't have to go to confession to hear from God. You don't have to wait till you're in nature or until you're in some bad circumstance or anything. Is God is speaking to you irrespective of all of this. All very, very important things. And I love what David says in Psalms 139. By the way, you know, when I read the story of David is just a fascinating guy to me. And the reason why I love David is that David is straight up real. When David is mad, he tells God, God, I'm upset, I'm angry, I'm mad. And yeah, God, I'm mad at you too. Like, where are you in all of this? When David is happy, David is praising God and writing all these psalms and these hymns and these spiritual songs. And when David is sad, he tells God when he's sad. And when David wants God to bring down hell and brimstone on his enemies, because the fact is, we can't hide our heart from God. He actually knows what we're thinking anyway. It's so funny that we like try to do that. But so here's what David says. You know, he says, hey, God, you know me when I get up, and you know me when I lie down. You know me when I travel. You know me when I'm at work. You know me when I'm at home. And then he says, like, I can't even get away from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I try to run, I can't get away from it. I can't get away from you because you're just right there beside me. This is like running back. He's like right there beside me. Just can't get away from him. You know, and you know, there's this, you guys remember this hymn, but it's based on a Bible verse. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The original language has it that it will chase after you. No matter how you try to get away, it's just going to chase after you. Because that's just what God's spirit and God's presence in your life does. He's just out to make your life just better. And so he says, I can't get away from it. And then David's like, okay, God is so real time. He can't leave me. And then he says this, anywhere I am, I know that your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. He had enough experience to know that even in the worst places, I know your presence is there and I know your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. And so any problems, any issues, any circumstances, any concerns, any decisions that you have to make, anything that's happening in your life right now, God is saying something in that very, very quiet whisper, that still small voice. And he's saying, all you got to do is listen, because I'm telling you, and follow. And I mentioned before, and that's why we're going to spend one whole topic talking about this. The deceiver, he knows how to imitate God's voice. But my sheep know my name. My sheep recognize my voice. My sheep run away from a stranger. All right? And some of you guys may be wondering, well, you're not finding that in your life, and we're going to talk about that in a second. But we all know examples of how the devil deceives, right? He puts these thoughts in our heads. He whispers also in a very small voice, just like God is whispering in a very small voice. And he puts these thoughts in our head. And sometimes they're contrary. This is like really contrary from the Bible. But he convinces you that this makes sense. You know, I know of a case where one man decided in 20th century Western culture that he needed to have a second wife while he's still having the first wife. And he convinced himself that, and he convinced a couple others around him, including his wife, that this was God's will. And he did it. And like, well, how do you do that? How, you a person who know the word, and that's because the deceiver came and whispered something in his ear that sounded like it could be from God. So the deceiver is out there. So, you know, you got to listen around for that. And so, you know, we need to recognize God's whisper over the devil's whisper. But there's a third way, and it's that God, why God went through all this stuff to show all the stuff that he's not in, to speak in the very small voice, is because God desires intimacy. God desires intimacy. He desires a really, really close relationship with you. And I'm going to make my wife blush, but some of the most intimate times that I have with Donna is, I'm going to be good. I'm looking at her. The camera is looking at me. I'm looking at her. It's just when we're just lying down and we're like right next to each other and she's talking to me and I'm talking to her and the voice is like really low. And if somebody walked in the room, they couldn't hear a word. And that intimacy of that still small voice where we communicate with each other, we're just there, right there. And God desires that same kind of intimacy with us. That he says, I can just speak in a very soft voice and my sheep know my name and just recognize me. And God wants us to be up close and personal with him. And James, who's the half-brother of Jesus, he said it this way. He said, you know, if you come close to God, he will come close to you. In another version, it says, draw close to him. And he will draw close to you. God's like right here. And the way I imagine it, because everything I read in the Bible, I put it in imagery because I'm a simple dude. And I can only think in simple thoughts. And I imagine that if you ever had a first kiss, or maybe it's not your first, but first with that person. You guys like say, no, I've only had one person kissed in my life. Anyway, You know, it goes something like this. A person is over there, you're over here, you look, you like. And they. Y'all laughing because y'all know it's true. Then you close your eyes. It's a dance. And when you see that verse, I want you to think about that. You come close to God, he's like, I'm close to you. This is a dance. You get into this whole intimacy where you can just like talk. It's you and him just right there. And that whisper. You know? And when you come close to him, he has some words for you that provide some incredible insights. He's like, start telling you stuff. You're like, snap, I never saw it that way. Wow. Really? Wow. This guy's like, hey, if you do this, you're going to get a promotion. If you do this, man, your boss is going to love you. You do this, she's hooked. She yells. So I've told you, what are the ways God speaks? I've told you why I believe God speaks in so many different ways. And really, what I want to kind of end this, and the sermon wouldn't be complete without sharing with you the way I think God speaks to us. It's really, I would say, the how God speaks to us. And this is the how we are to respond and how we are to listen, really. And in order to listen to that still, small voice, it takes one thing. And this is what it believes it takes. It takes practice. And everybody here should get this, unless you're Allen Iverson. And if you guys don't know basketball, you understand why I say that, because he's not really into practice. But for all of us else, we have to practice listening, because practice is the amplifier of God's voice. When you practice, y'all thought you were going to get away from some sound analogy, right? You know, frequency, amplifier, yeah. But it's the amplifier of God's voice. But when you practice hearing God's voice, it increases, and I told you this last week, it increases the amplitude, it increases the level. But it doesn't, not only do that, it increases the squelch, which shuts out all the interference around it, and it makes you become a better antenna. And so here's how to do it, right? Some suggestions for you to try. And when I tell you these suggestions, try it. If it doesn't work, don't do it, right? I'll just tell you what I believe that God wants me to lay on your heart and what has worked for me. Number one, it's a key. Practice being still. We live in this really, really busy world, and it's really hard for us to be still. And God's in here tells us, like, hey, be still and know that I am God. He's like, he wants you to be like still. Sometimes you get sick because God says, you won't press the pause button, I'm going to press the pause button for you. And he presses the pause button, and you're like, snap, why am I sick? And God's like, I need to get your attention. And you're just too busy. And I'm trying to tell you some stuff here. And if you can't hear God, maybe you're too busy. And in the stillness, you will hear God's prompting. And the more you do it, the more you start to recognize and become more acutely aware of that still, small voice just talking to you. And he's speaking to you real-time conversations. And I believe one of the best ways to do this is through meditation. And people will freak out, like, meditation. Meditation is just simply the ability to just focus on one topic. You kind of close out everything else, like, I'm going to focus on this one thing, and I'm going to narrow my focus into that one thing. And there are two suggestions I have with respect to this, right? And if you meditate on anything, there are benefits, and then it's scientific benefits that you'll see. So you meditate on anything. But Psalms 1, I believe, tells you that when you meditate on the Word day and night, you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed tremendously. And so what I do, there are folks who will tell you that, you know, read the one-year Bible, and it becomes a goal to try and finish the Bible in 1 year. And I've done that. I've read the Bible 3 times the way through to check boxes, to check boxes, to check boxes. And it's really good. I read a chronological Bible, which I'd suggest that you guys do. It reads like a storybook. But if you really, truly want to hear God's word and hide it in your heart, I say you take 5 verses, or six verses, and you just read them over, and you read them over, and you over and over again. Just take it, I'm like, and as you start to read it, and you start to think, and you focus on these 6 verses, it's like a cow chewing his cud, and it's like, gets the food, digest it, brings it up. It sounds kind of gross, but it actually provides him with tons of nutrients. That's why a cow can eat grass and be big like that and produce steak. He's getting everything that he can out of what he's ingesting. He's taking it in over and over again. And when you do that, something happens. You're hiding God's word in your heart. Yesterday, Ingrid, and actually when she's presenting, I guess she's Deborah, but she's not presenting, so she's Ingrid now. She and Calvin did a presentation, a workshop on Israeli leadership development and communicating. Let me tell you, it was phenomenal. It was beyond good. And when they do it again, everybody here needs to show up at that. And it, you know, because it was out of this world. But one of the things that she said is, or Calvin said, one of them said, is that Bruce Lee, karate man Bruce Lee, he said, "I don't fear the man who has learned 1,000 kicks and practiced each one time. I fear the man who has practiced the same kick 1,000 times. Because he knows that kick. It's better to know John 3:16 and know every application of it than to have read every verse in the Bible and know none of it and the application of it." So you chew on that and you meditate on that day and night. And you think about it and you think about the words and the emotion behind it. And the other thing that you should do is, before you have any major presentation, any decision, any tests at school, anything that you're doing at school, I want you to do this. I'm telling you, you know, 90% you're going to ignore this, but it works. Take 30 seconds to 1 minute and just shut everything out. And just say, "God, I need for you to speak through me in this. I need for you to help me remember this test. I need to hear from you. Put your thoughts," and just pause and be still. I do that all the time before presentations. I just take a few moments and I'm like, "God, I need your help." And I get up there, I do these phenomenal presentations, and I come down, I look, I'm like, snap. 2 weeks ago, I did a presentation to some senior leaders, and they applauded at the end. It was funny because other people were presenting and nobody else applauded. They didn't applaud for anybody else. And I felt really good. And then I said something which it just, sometimes things just come out of my mouth with some of the people looking at. So it came out of my mouth. I said, "I feel like I need to do an altar call." It was right there in the middle of this meeting with a bunch of senior executives at my company. I'm like, I think I need to do an altar call. And they're like, just kidding. Watch us on Periscope. The meditation is just makes things, the God's voice, come a little bit louder. Number two, and I'll be done in. It's okay, Greg. I like that. It sounds like thunder, so I think God is speaking here, right? No, you can finish, Greg. No, come on. It's all right. You know, the camera is focused on me. It's not focused on him. But key number two is practice active listening. Folks, this is a key communicating thing that I'm telling you to practice in your lives, but it works with God. It's listen, echo back, right, and validate. And how it goes like this is like, when Donna says something to me, and I think it's nonsense because I don't understand it, I'm like, let me hear this. Let me see if I understood what she said correctly. And I echo it back. And then she echoes it forward, right? And then I'm like, "Oh, you didn't say that. Oh, now you're making sense." Y'all know it's true. And same thing, take God's word. What do you think you hear? And an echo back and say, God, did I hear you correctly? And then you validate. And it's just called active listening. Practicing your relationship, active listening. And, you know, you, of course, you got to, that's part of testing. And key number three is practice real-time praying. Real-time praying is really cool. Because you see, relationships are two-way. Communications are two-way. And sometimes God only speaks when we ask him. God's like, you want to know my opinion? Hey, you want to know my opinion? And he's not telling us. He wants us to say, yeah, God, I want to know what you feel about this. That's real-time praying. That's praying without season. That's praying. Man, I tell you, over the years, I've come to realize how important that is. That I like pray all the time. It's Pastor Don, I got to give him thanks for that and credit for that. He's like, man, yeah, you need to pray about everything. So I'll be walking on the street. I'm like, should I walk on the left side or the right side of the road? To me, it probably makes no difference in the world, but I'm like, maybe he's got something to tell me on the right side. So I feel like he's telling me to go on the right side. I'll go on the right side. Sometimes there's nothing. He just wants me to exercise my right leg. And you know, when you're real-time praying, my wife asked me this week. She said to me, you really pray to God like how you say? I'm like, yeah. I'll tell God anything. Because that's how David did it. He told God anything. And I'll speak to God in Pato, I'll speak to him. And when I'm angry, I'll speak to him and all kind of stuff. When I was younger, I used to think God was British. And not just current British. I thought he was like 15th century British. And if I didn't say it in the right thous and these, he wasn't going to listen. Then I realized that God wasn't British. He's not Jamaican either. He's not Greek. God's not Greek. He's not a Roman. God's God. And he understands what's going on inside of here. And he says, I want to tell you. And the experience of Elijah can be yours, can be mine. We embrace these three keys. And here's what. I love what he told Jeremiah, and this is my ending verse. He says, hey, Jeremiah, when you search for me, you'll find me. If you seek me with all your heart, because I'm speaking very softly. So you got to practice. You got to recognize, but I'm right here, Jeremiah, telling you all kind of good things, helping every decision, helping through your relationship issues, your job issues, your whatever issues, your own issues. Because some of y'all got issues. I do too. I got lots of issues. My wife will tell you. This can be yours. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just love your presence, Lord Jesus. I just love the fact that you are so interested in me and my issues, and that I can just go to you real time and talk to you. Lord, I thank you that you said that you always listen and you always hear. And so, Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here who does not have that experience, that today they won't leave without coming and speaking with me or Patrice or Ingrid or somebody else, right? We'll be up front here who can just tell you and explain to them a little bit more. And if they've never accepted Jesus as their personal Lord, that they'll just say the simple prayer. It says, God, I want your presence in my life. Come into my heart and take control. In Jesus' name, amen.